passage I just read from Acts chapter 7 is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you'll turn with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 15, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, and this is when he spoke from Mount Sinai, and they heard the thunders and the lightnings. Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they've well spoken that which they've spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. Now, that's what a prophet is. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's what a prophet is. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, in my authority, I will require it of him. Now, Moses is a type of Christ the mediator. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, they said, we don't want to hear you anymore. It's scaring us to death. We're going to die if we hear your voice. You speak to the Lord for us, and you speak from the Lord to us. We don't want to hear him on our own. And the Lord says, they've well spoken to say that. Now, this was a well-known prophecy during the New Testament times, because remember when John the Baptist was preaching? And they asked John the Baptist, tell us, are you that prophet? And they were speaking of this prophecy. And he said, no. What about in John chapter 6 when he fed the 5,000? And they said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This was a well-known prophecy, and people were waiting for that prophet to come. I think that's exactly what the woman at the well was speaking of when she didn't have any idea what the Lord was talking about. And she said, you're a prophet. And she said, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, he will tell us all things. He is that prophet that God will raise up that we can hear. Now, what is a prophet? He brings God's word, God's words to men. Now, there are no true prophets like the Old Testament prophets in our day because the canon is closed. All we have is the scriptures. And you can tell if a man is called of God if he's preaching God's word, but you don't have men saying, thus saith the Lord, outside of the scriptures. The scriptures are closed. There is no new revelation. But when the prophet spoke, he was speaking with a thus saith the Lord. This is God's word. And we're given an illustration of this in Exodus chapter 4. Would you turn with me there? This is when the Lord had commissioned Moses to be prophet. And Moses said unto the Lord, verse 10, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm not a man of words. I'm not neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I'm not a good speaker. As if that had anything to do with anything. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. As the prophet is what he's saying. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He says, I don't want to go. Now I think it's interesting that 40 years before this, he wanted to go. He thought the children of Israel would understand that by his hand the Lord would deliver them, but they didn't understand. And now 40 years later, he doesn't want to go anymore. Send somebody else. He genuinely felt totally unequipped to do this. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you that which you shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. He'll be your mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a god. You'll be the one bringing words in his mouth, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand therewith, and thou shalt do signs. Look in chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh. You're bringing my word. That's what Moses was doing. Thus saith the Lord. You know, he didn't ask Pharaoh, would you please let them go? No. Thus saith the Lord. Let my people go. That's the only way the Lord speaks. He doesn't make requests. He doesn't ask for things. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother should be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and he shall send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, a prophet brings God's word. That's all he does. He doesn't give his own opinion. He doesn't give his own thoughts. He brings God's word. Thus saith the Lord. Now, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, 6 times the Lord says, you've heard it been said by them of old. And he quotes a scripture. But I say unto you, I am the one who says exactly what this means. 6 times. You've heard it been said of them of old, but I say unto you. And I love the way the Sermon on the Mount ends. It says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he spake as one having authority. And I love the slam, not as the scribes. They had no authority. But that's what the prophetic word is. It's the authority of God. It's not just speaking in some kind of authoritative voice and trying to sound authoritative. It's speaking in the name of God by his authority. Now that is what a prophet is. Thus saith the Lord. And as a prophet, Moses was unique. Remember, this is this prophet likened to Moses. Turn with me to Numbers 12 for a moment. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. I halfway think that Miriam was the one who inspired this. She's mentioned first, before Aaron. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. He'd married a black woman. And they were objecting. And here's their real objection. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. He heard exactly what was being said. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. I don't speak to him in a vision. I don't speak to him in a dream. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, were ye not afraid against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And he departed. You go on reading. He turned Miriam into a leper for a week over that. But the point is, Moses was different than any other prophet. The Lord spake to the other prophets by dreams, by visions, but he spoke to Moses face to face. In Exodus chapter 32, it says, the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh with his friends. And Moses is such a type of Christ. Remember how Moses' face shined after he received the law? Who else face shined on the Mount of Transfiguration? His face shined a whole lot more brightly than Moses. It shined as the sun. Moses was born, the scripture says, fair to God, beautiful to God. God looked at him and he was beautiful. Who was born truly beautiful to God? I think of the Lord Jesus Christ being born and the Father looking down upon him and saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, when Moses was born, there was an attempt of murder upon him. You remember they wanted to murder all the children? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was an attempt of murder against him. And Moses was faithful to what God said. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to all God has spoken. Now, why do we need a prophet? Why do we need a prophet like unto Moses? That's going to be raised up of the people, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need a prophet? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, because of our sinfulness. Number two, because of our ignorance. And number three, because of our inability. That is why I need a prophet to bring me the word of God. First of all, because of my sinfulness. You remember how the children of Israel said, we don't want to hear from God anymore. You speak to him. Let him speak to you and let him bring, and you bring his words to us. We're too sinful. Well, God is a consuming fire. I can't hear from him apart from a mediator, apart from him giving his word to somebody to bring to me. I'm so sinful that he would have to consume me. Ignorant. Do you have any idea how ignorant we all are by nature? Ignorant of the character of God. Ignorant of ourselves. Well, we naturally believe things like works and free will. I mean, that comes natural to us because we're in ignorance. We're all three people, every one of us, everybody in here. We're the one others think we are. We're the one we think we are. And we're the one God knows we are. That's who we are. And we're all ignorant. Just the things that you naturally believe, the things that I naturally believe, they're wrong. And I need a prophet to tell me who I really am, most especially who God really is, how God saves by his grace, how God saves by Christ. I won't know that unless I'm given the word of the prophet. Ignorance and also inability. I can't, if I make the gospel plainer than anybody else, you know how much it'll help you understand it? Not a bit. Not a bit. We can't hear. We're unable to hear unless he gives us hearing ears. We're unable to understand unless he opens our understanding that we might understand the scripture. We're clueless. We lack the ability to to hear the gospel. Do you know that if God doesn't give you hearing ears, you'll never hear? You'll never understand. You'll never be able to enter in unless God is pleased to give you ears to hear as God's prophet. Now, as the prophet to his people, he gives them the words of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture in John chapter 17, verse 8. He said, "I have given them thy words, and they have received them." I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. He said in John chapter 8, verse 45, "If I say the truth, why don't you believe me?" It's a good question, isn't it? If I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now turn with me to John chapter 6. Now this is after the feeding of the 5,000. Now, they saw the Lord as a gravy train. They saw the Lord as a way to provide their needs where they wouldn't have to go out and provide them themselves. He miraculously, at this time, fed 5,000 people. This is great. I mean, this is the kind of king we need. This is the kind of ruler we need who will provide for us and give us everything we need. Now look here in John chapter 6 in verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of the truth, that prophet that should come into the world." This is the prophet Moses spake of, and they believed that. Now, I think it's interesting, as you go on reading in this passage of Scripture, he was a prophet as long as he didn't say anything. But after he spake, these are hard sayings. We don't like hard sayings. These are untenable. We don't like this. It's harsh. It's disagreeable to humanity. We don't like what you said. And in that passage of Scripture in John chapter 6, I don't have time to look at it all, but you go back, all he did is bring out what we call the doctrine of grace. He brought out total depravity. He brought out unconditional election. He brought out effectual redemption. He brought out irresistible grace. He brought out the perseverance of the saints so clearly in this one message. And I would challenge you to go back and read it, and you can see that. And look what their response was in verse 59. "These things said he in the synagogue," as he taught in Capernaum. "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? Are you offended by what I've said?'" And I love verse 62. "What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" You know what he means by that? If you're offended now, you're really going to be offended when you find out who I am. When you see me ascend back to the Father, ruling and reigning. You think you're offended now? You'll really be offended then. Like what he says. It's the Spirit, verse 63. "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing in this thing of quickening. The words that I speak to you that you find to be harsh and disagreeable and you want to lead me over them. The words that I speak unto you as God's prophet, they are spirit, purely spiritual. And they are life." Life comes from the word of the prophet. "But there's some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, I try to picture this in my mind, the Lord watching 5,000 men, don't know about the women and the children, 5,000 men leaving. And we don't read where he asked them to come back. We don't read where he said, let me say this differently. Maybe you just didn't understand. He watched them leave, and he looked at the 12, and he said, will you also go away? You can if you want. Will you also go away? And I love Peter's response. Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's not like we have any options. It's not like we have a choice. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. These words that they were saying, they're hard sayings. These are words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? He didn't say, boy, Peter, congratulations. You're doing what the 5,000, no. He said, here's the one reason you've done this. I've chosen you. That's it. Because I've chosen you. And one of you, the one that's going to deny me, is a devil. Now, I'd like to spend the remainder of our time in John chapter 14, if you'll turn with me there, because this is the scripture. I mean, there's so many scriptures that we can use that demonstrate him being God's prophet, bringing God's word and bringing God's message. But this is the one that came to my mind more than any other passage of scripture. It starts at the end of chapter 13 with Christ making a prophetic statement with regard to Peter. Now, the Lord said, Peter, this is what you will do. It was a prophecy concerning the future. And the reason the Lord knew what Peter would do is because the Lord ordained for Peter to do it. It was a part of his sovereign purpose. And it was necessary for this to take place. Do you know that everything that takes place with you, there's a necessity to it? I'm so thankful for that. Everything that takes place, there's a divine necessity. It's all a part of God's purpose. You might not understand it, probably don't, but he does. And he tells Peter, you're going to deny me. Look in verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. And I have no doubt that he meant it. He meant it with all of his heart. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Now you remember that that chapter of division is man-made. The Lord was looking at Peter and said, you're going to deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Now how in the world could that be? Well, we could say, well, we know Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, and everything's included in that. But look at the Lord's reason for Peter not being troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do you believe God's all-powerful? I'm all-powerful. Do you believe God is sovereign? I'm sovereign. Do you believe God is holy? I'm holy. All that God is, I am. I'm not like God. I am God. What are you got to be troubled about? I'm here. What else needs to be said? You believe in God? You believe God's the first cause behind all things? That's me. You believe God's able to save you? That's me. What do you have to be troubled about? I'm here. He says, as God's prophet, in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he's talking about going to the cross. I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you. And when he was going to the cross, I don't know how many millions or hundreds of millions of elect there are, but he had every one of them by name. He's God. He can do this. He had my name. He had your name. He was going to prepare a place for you. He had you on his heart, just like the great high priest of old did. I go to prepare. He's not talking about going and straightening up the room and getting your bed ready and getting it. No, he's going to the cross to prepare a place in heaven. One of these mansions, these dwelling places for you. And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that heaven? Where he is, that's where I am. That's heaven. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, and you know, this is an example how a lot of times disciples don't really understood what's being said. Look at Thomas's reply. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He didn't really know what he was talking about. He was a true disciple, but he didn't know what he was talking about. And then the Lord makes this statement that I believe is, well, everything he said is glorious. But what greater prophetic statement as God's prophet has ever been made? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Not, I'll show you the way. Not, I'll lead you along the way. I am the way. I am the truth. Not, I'll teach you the truth. Not, I'll show you what the truth is. Not, I'll lead you and guide you into the truth. He says, I am the truth. And then he says, I am the life. Not, I'll give you life. Not, I'll cause you to live. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, there's so much that could be said about that. And one of the things that I find very challenging about John is he makes little simple statements that are just beyond an explanation that we could give appropriately. I am the way. Not I'll show you the way. I am the way to the Father. I'm the way that excludes all other ways. I'm the way to this extent. If you're in me, you're already there. I am the way to the Father. Now, this is best understood by baptism. That simple, glorious, whatever it is you'd call it, there's no saving efficacy in it, but it's the believer's confession of Christ. Here's what I'm confessing in baptism. When he lived, I was in him. Where he went, I went. When he went into the grave, I went in there with him. When he was raised from the dead, I was with him. When he ascended back to the Father, I ascended back with him. He is the way to the Father. Now, the only way you're going to get to the Father is if you're in him. That's what that means. He is the way. He's the way that excludes all other ways. There is no other way to the Father. And the only way me or you are going to get to the Father is if we're in him. And when he comes into the Father's presence, we come into the Father's presence. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about knowing the right way, knowing the right direction, going along the right road. No, he himself is the way. No man comes to the Father but by him. And this next statement, I am the truth. Not I'll teach you the truth. I want to be taught, but that's not what he said. He said, I am the truth. Now, what's he mean by that? All you're ever going to know about the character of God is me. All you're ever going to see of God is me. I am the truth concerning God's actual character. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in me. I'm the truth with regard to you. The only way you're going to see anything about yourself is by seeing me. You see me high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, you're going to be just right there with Isaiah. Woe is me. I am undone. You're going to be like Job. I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears. I learned some things, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. He's the truth regarding salvation. I can't say this clearly enough. He is salvation. I love what Simeon said. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's salvation. I am the life. Not I'll give you life. Not I'll show you what life's all about. I am the life. Now, you know what that means? That means the only life there is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that God will accept. His life is the only life. Now, what do I mean by that? That means when God calls my name on Judgment Day, he's going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I'm going to hear. He's not going to say, I'm going to treat you as if you have done well, and I'm going to overlook the sinful things you've done, and I'm going to count you as having done well. He's going to say, well done. Everything you've done is well done. You're a good, you're a faithful servant. Now somebody says, preacher, I can't see the Lord saying that to me. I hear you talking, but I can't see the Lord saying that to me. If his life is your life before God, that's exactly what you're going to hear. If his life, remember he said, I am the life, not a life, not one among many. I'm the life. My life before God is described in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when the Lord Jesus Christ, that's life. His life. I am the life. And every believer, this is where my confidence is. His life is my personal life before God. That's what's called justification. It's just another way of saying justification. My life is his life. His perfect life is my life before God. And that's why I can come into God's presence boldly. Christ could. And does. And my life is His life. I am the way. I am the truth. You know, can anybody else say that? I am the truth. If I would say that to you, I would just feel like the hypocrite I am. But He says it. And He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Amen? You believe that? Is His life your only life? Is He your way? Is He the truth? He is to every believer. Now let's go on reading a little bit. If you had known Me, verse 7, you should have known My Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now how dull and stupid did Philip's words appear? And the Lord knows that's what they are, because He said, and I would have liked to have heard the way He said this. He said in verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? You've been with Me day and night for 3 years. It appears like you don't know anything. You certainly don't know Me, asking Me something like that. Now, somebody says, are you saying Philip's not a believer? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Philip's about as stupid as I am. That's what I'm saying. Have I been so long time with you, and yet, after all you've seen and all you've heard, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me? And then He makes this glorious statement. He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. All I'm ever going to know of the Father is Jesus Christ. He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Why would you say something like that, Philip? Now, He's God. And as God, He's never disappointed. I don't even know what I'm saying now, but you can, the way He speaks to Him, there's almost like, really? Philip, really? Really? Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known Me? He that hath seen Me has seen the Father. Verse, how then sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, and the words. Remember that that's what a prophet is. He brings the words of God. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you. I speak not of Myself, but the Father dwelleth in Me. He doeth the work. Look in verse 22 of this chapter. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot. I love the way that's pointed out. This is not the traitor speaking. This is one of His disciples. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself to us and not unto the world? And that's so. He doesn't manifest Himself to the world. He only manifests Himself to us. All of the elect, every one of His people. He said regarding them in another place, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Tell me what that means. I can't, but I know it's so. I'm not of the world the same way the Lord Jesus Christ is not of the world. He's the eternal Son of God, and I am in Him. And those are the only people He manifests Himself to. He doesn't manifest Himself to everybody. If He's manifested Himself to you, will you really believe everything you just heard? Oh, He's made Himself known to you. Now, Judas, not Iscariot, asked this question, Lord, how is it that Thou will manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep, he will guard over my words. You know, to some people, the words of Christ are just not that important. Just doctrine, but not to the believer. They keep, they guard over, they rejoice in His words. Don't you rejoice in I am the way? I am the truth? I am the life? The only way you can come into the Father's presence is by me? You rejoice in that. That's your hope. And if somebody calls into question those words, they're in for a fight with you, aren't they? This is your only hope. I'm not talking about trying to be contentious, but I'm saying this. I take the gospel personally. Somebody says, well, we can agree to disagree. No, we can't. No, we can't. We can't agree to disagree. This is the Word of God. And somebody that loves his person, that's what we see. It's personal. It's personal. I love my wife. You say you disagree with something. I say something good about her, and you say, I don't believe that. Me and you aren't going to be friends. We just aren't. I take it personal. And it's much more so that way with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and His words. We keep them. Let's go on reading. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with me. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's the same word as words. That's the person that loves me, he keeps my words. The person that has no love for me, he doesn't keep my words. They're not important to him. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now that's the word of a prophet. The words that you've heard are not mine, but the words of the Father which hath sent me. Now, he, as God's prophet, brings us the very Word of God. And I love this. He is the Word of God, isn't he? He himself is the Word of God. And it's only through his mediation that we can actually hear from God. God apart from Christ is nothing but a consuming fire. You don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't want to have anything to do with him apart from Christ. He's so glorious. He's so other. But oh, when the Son of God comes as God's prophet and brings the Word of God to us, how we rejoice. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the prophet you sent us, the prophet you've raised up, even thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you for his word. How we thank you that he is the word. And Lord, let us be of that number that love you and keep your word, and deliver us from being that people who love you not and keep not your sayings. Lord, enable us to find all of our hope in what you have said as the great prophet. Bless this word for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dwayne, come lead us close.